All four of the Gospels have an account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. But there are some verses in the Bible that have a tendency to capture what many words would ordinarily say. I think of 2 Corinthians 5:21 as a verse like that. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me read that once more. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I believe that captures the whole of the crucifixion. And I'd like to, or like for us to meditate on two or three features of that tonight. First of all, the Father's love. This little verse mentions two persons of the divine Trinity, the Father and the Son. And the verse begins and ends with God the Father. See, the Father orchestrated all the events surrounding the cross. Some people fancy that the Father and the Son were at odds, or the Son had to fix everything through his death with the Father. No. No. This verse begins with God made. Jesus Christ's death on the cross in no way surprised to the Father. The Father planned as much before time. Revelation 13:8 speaks of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Just like our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You see, the fundamental reason for the gospel of Jesus Christ is the Father's love. For God so loved that he gave. The Father's love is behind all this. And secondly, I want you to notice not only the Father's love, but the Son's sacrifice. The verse goes on to say, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. First of all, Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He who knew no sin. Why is that important? Because God hates sin. He's holy, and he demands absolute perfection. That is to say, sinless obedience. And we know that Jesus never sinned, and that he also lived a life of perfect and personal obedience. No human being could ever satisfy the just and the righteous demands of God, because every human being has the infection of sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin came in the world through one man, that is Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Everyone who is born into this world comes complete with a sin nature. Years ago in 1985, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I remember that five-year period at the end of the 80s when the virus, the HIV virus, really broke onto the scene, and all of that with AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And you remember everyone was fearful, and they treated those with the virus like lepers. Who could forget Ryan White, the little boy who acquired it via blood, I believe, a dentist office visit, some other way. But he was persecuted. He was alienated as if he were a leper. The amazing thing about that, as terrible as the AIDS virus is, every one of us has a virus that's much worse. Every one of us comes into the world with acquired infection due to sin. That's our AIDS. And it is eternally worse than any infection known to man. And unlike AIDS or any other human infection, we all acquired this infection at birth. We call it original sin. Paul says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so Jesus is sinless, he who knew no sin. And then secondly, Jesus became the object of the Father's wrath against sin. That's why it says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us." Now, why is this important? Well, two reasons. One, or I say many reasons, but a couple that really have a way of summarizing the whole is the nature of sin. God cannot simply overlook sin due to his righteousness and holiness. Sin is not merely a moral weakness. It's a violation against God's holiness and justice. And therefore, atonement or payment must be made. Both Psalm 5 and Nahum chapter 1 verse 2 tell us that God hates sin with a divine hatred. He is a God of wrath. Other places in Scripture tell us he's angry with the wicked all day long. Exodus 34:7, "He will by no means clear the guilty." In Hebrews 9:23, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." You have to understand the gravity of sin before a holy God to truly appreciate what Paul says when he says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin." Christ had no sin, but this is the best way to put it, that he actually became the target of the Father's wrath against your sin and mine. And so the nature of sin is very important, and that's why Jesus was the object of the Father's wrath, but also the nature of God. We talk about his veracity. That means he never changes. He's always and absolutely truthful. There are some divine cannots. God cannot lie. God doesn't change. Indeed, he is immutable. He's never changing. He's always consistent with his own laws. As Paul said in Romans 3:4, "Let God be found true, though every man be made a liar." In Romans 3:25-26, spells it out. Christ's death was necessary so that God might be, as Paul says, both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, God doesn't just sweep sin under the carpet. It has to be dealt with due to the gravity of it and due to his very nature. And furthermore, God the Father would not hand his Son over to bitter sufferings and a horrible death if the atonement of Jesus Christ was somehow optional or necessary, unnecessary. It was absolutely necessary. Whenever we look to the cross, we see the beauty of God's love. We see the magnitude of the Son's sacrifice. We also see the sinner's salvation. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary is God's appointed means of atonement. Not only does God the Father deal with our sin, but he imputes, that is, he credits the righteous life of Christ to every one of his children, so that we stand sinless and faultless before the bar, the judgment bar of a holy God. But notice how it ends, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Everyone has to have righteousness, perfect righteousness, to stand before a holy God. And the Bible makes it clear, if we are found in Jesus, then we are clothed with his righteousness. And when God looks at us, it's as if he puts on spectacles and he sees us through the lens of his perfect, sinless Son, Jesus Christ. Now, to be found in him means to be united to Christ by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no one will boast. You see, to be a Christian, to acknowledge the depth of the cross of Christ, is to exercise childlike faith. It's one of the paradoxes of the Christian faith. No one could come up with a plan like this, to give his only begotten Son, to bleed to death on a cross, so that your sin and my sin would be atoned for completely. And yet, in the wisdom of God, all he requires is humility and childlike faith. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Save me. I throw myself into your hands by faith. Romans 5:8 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts this evening as we continue in this service of worship. Lord, you would remind us of the mystery, the greatest mystery of our faith, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Lord, may the Christ of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians be our Christ, personally and in reality, through faith in his finished work on the cross. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.